Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, The Simpsons has been on air for nearly 37 years. And as you may know, another Simpsons movie will be released next year, 20 years after the first one. But oh, you say, it's not relevant anymore. It's not nearly as funny as it used to be. It lacks the punch of shows like South Park. Alan Siegel is the author of Stupid TV, Be More Funny. Good afternoon, Alan.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. So why do they keep doing it, do you think?
The show?
Yeah.
I think it's an institution and it makes money for Fox. Like, I think it's that simple. I think people love it so much that even the modern version, which just doesn't quite compare to the first 8 to 10 years, like, it's still good and people still love it. And like, it's going to go on seemingly forever.
Yeah. But I assume it can't go on seemingly forever. Well, I'm not, no, maybe it could, but with different actors. But say Julie Kavner's in her 70s now.
Yeah, if you listen to some of the voices, like, they've definitely aged a little bit, which is odd for someone like me who grew up with the show. I think they've sort of earned the right to go on as long as they want. I mean, it's going to be very interesting if, you know, God forbid something happens to the cast or they age out or they want to retire. But I think they're kind of waiting to cross that bridge when they get there.
Right. Okay. But in the, is there, I mean, the first movie, as I recall, did very well. Is there a was there a demand for a second movie?
Yeah, I mean, the first movie, I think it's the best movie that had more than 10 people credited as writers on it. So it was like, it made something like $500 million worldwide. And I think it was only a matter of time before they did a sequel. And I think that the first movie was a little bit of a pleasant surprise because, again, it took them almost 20 years to make it. And For a franchise as big as The Simpsons, there's a big gestation period. So I think it's going to do really well.
Well, I imagine there'd be even a big nostalgia element. There might be people going to see it who haven't watched it on a TV in a long time.
I think I'm one of those people, you know, I don't watch every week anymore, but when The Simpsons sort of becomes an event, I'm in 100%. And I think that's what they're relying on. And I think there are, it's definitely a new audience of people that have watched on streaming. And by people, I mean like kids ages 8 to 15. You know, they've discovered it in America on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Now, that and I want to get to that point, the Disney Plus point. Because, South Park is like sticking it to Trump every chance it gets. Disney would be far more nervous about doing something like that, I would take it.
Yes, although The Simpsons has always been famous for having basically editorial independence. And if you watch sort of the early seasons, the show is very sort of rough on like right-wing ideologues. Like there's an episode where Sideshow Bob runs for mayor. And if you watch that episode now, I believe it's from 1994, like you see echoes of Trump now. And I mean, they made a joke later sort of about Trump becoming president in the future. But it was way earlier than that that they really sort of caught the right-wing populism that has sort of caught on, or rather has always been here in America, but is really taking over now.
Yeah. The difference between then and now in that, you know, there's so many bits you could take from The Simpsons, which either from 10, 15 years ago, that which comments on today or predicts stuff that happened today, such as the episode where, you know, Lisa Simpson's going, well, Donald Trump left us a big deficit when he was president, which at the time was seen to be ridiculous. But do they have the latitude? Do they have the desire to be as pointed about events today as they did back then?
I think that they do. I mean, so if anybody doesn't know, James L. Brooks, one of the executive producers, sort of negotiated back in the late 80s that Fox would have absolutely no input creatively. They were not able to give any notes. And I think that still sticks. But the thing is that The Simpsons was never as topical as South Park. So it's always going to be a little coy or a little, you know, a little bit, not vague, but it's not going to be as sort of directly hard-hitting as a show like South Park. So you can sort of take what you want from that, but I don't think they're afraid to take on modern issues at all.
Yeah. And you know, you're right. Like, whereas South Park is, no one ever accused South Park of being subtle. The Simpsons will frame it within a kind of a within a plot. But there is, you know, that odd comment, that odd line, that odd character where it's so on the nose about what's happening. Are they still doing that?
You know, I think like Sideshow Bob still exists, you know, and he's sort of like the stock like Republican, you know, on the show. And I mean, the show has always sort of been progressive in some ways, but it also like there are no sacred cows on that show. So, you know, if you look at it, like who is the most corrupt politician on the show? And it's Mayor Quimby, who is a Kennedy, right? He's a Democrat basically. And yeah, I mean, I think the show has always had no fear of that stuff.
Yeah. Does Kelsey Grammer still do Sideshow Bob?
Oh, yeah, 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 he does.
Oh, so he's the Trump supporter in every...
yes, exactly,
again.
Yeah.
You see? They predicted that.
Yes, art imitating life, for sure.
Are there any indications of what the movie will be about?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of... I have this... Maybe I'm wish casting or, you know, fantasizing sort of about them convening the old writers from the early 90s and coming up with something, because that's what they did for the first movie. You know, they brought back a bunch of the old writers to come up with something. And I think it was, again, like it was a success for something like something that sort of Titanic, to distill it to under 2 hours is really hard. And we'll see what they can do.
Yeah. And are there any aspects now you think of The Simpsons that are old fashioned that don't reflect the way life is now?
I mean, people have talked about this, but they talk about how like the lifestyle the Simpsons lead, which is like, you know, a stay-at-home mom and a one working parent, right, in a middle class job. They own a home and have 2.5 children. And, you know, people say like you can't in America, like that is not affordable anymore. Like there was one of the writers sort of told the story about how it got to a point even in the 90s where it became ridiculous. Like there's an episode where Homer goes to India with Apu, and one of the writers told me like it didn't make sense because they sort of established that Homer was making $240 a week, and it's like, well, how does he do that, you know? And it's even more stark now.
Yeah. But I suppose that's a suspension of disbelief. pushed it, and I suppose because it often that perhaps the, you know, the evil Mr. Burns model doesn't, you know, they're in many parts of middle America, wherever Springfield is, those places have been hollowed out. There isn't that big local employer anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from New England, and you know, there were a lot of like, you know, the General Electric plant or like mills, like that stuff isn't, manufacturing is not a thing in America. Or at least as much as it used to be for various reasons. And like, yeah, like Homer's job seems quaint now, and it's really sad.
Yeah. And also the attitude towards alcohol consumption in The Simpsons. has that changed?
Well, you know, you have the famous quote, you know, Homer says in the episode where they repeal alcohol in Springfield, which is like, to alcohol, the cause and solution to all of life's problems.
Yes.
And it's sort of like you kind of need Homer to have his beer. It like the show doesn't really exist without that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's really changed.
Mm-hmm. Like one of our listeners says, when I started watching The Simpsons, I was younger than Bart. Now I'm a lot older than Homer. I assume they'll never consider making the characters age.
No, I don't think so. And it's interesting because I don't know, you know, I don't know if you watch King of the Hill, but they've rebooted it and in America, and they did something interesting, which they age the characters. And you know, Bobby now is in his early 20s, and what that did, I think, was force the show to go in new directions. And I think it's almost a testament to The Simpsons, or rather like a sign of how great it was, that you have these characters sort of frozen in time, and yet they've done 800 episodes and been able to keep it going. And like, that's really hard.
Yeah. Fans of The Simpsons, is it a bit like the MCU in the sense that there have been many episodes where it spins forwards in time? You mentioned the one where Lisa becomes president and Bart ends up pretty much exactly the way you'd expect him to be. Is there a subset of fans who are looking for tiny inconsistencies and things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you have something that influential and that popular, like people feel like they own the show, right? That they have this sort of, again, like ownership of it. I mean, it's funny. There are message boards on the internet from the early 90s of people saying the show was going in the toilet. And it's crazy to think about, because like the show like was unimpeachable in the early 90s. Yet when something gets so popular, people just become so obsessed that they think like they can have a say in it. So it's The Simpsons was sort of a good test case on the internet. And again, like things are worse now in that way. However, like the internet became like a toxic place a long time ago.
That's so interesting. Alan, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Alan Siegel there. He's the author of Stupid TV, Be More Funny, How the Golden Era of The Simpsons Changed TV and America Forever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.